there?
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Good. How's my favorite doctor from Oklahoma?
Oh, thank you very much. That's a great honor. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Too blessed to be stressed. Oh, I like that a lot. Let me see if I can rearrange things here a little bit. I just did a long recording. That's better. That's better. Yeah. So thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, it's great to be with you again.
Yeah. So I just did a 2-hour recording and I have to do it for the Health Freedom Expo. I just sent that off, you know, because we're doing everything virtually now. Right. And,
yes.
And tomorrow I'm part of this whole, I don't know. Are you part of this thing? I didn't look close enough to see this Turning Point 2020, this Turning Point 2020. I mean, it's like a huge roster of speakers.
Oh.
I mean, it's like a really big deal.
I'm aware of.
Let's see. So the order that they have, European Research Day, which started on the 17th, and then the 18th was Extravaganza Day with just a miscellaneous, a lot of people about a winning mindset and those things. Today they had on Monday, on Monday, yesterday they had Jeffrey Smith and Diane Miller and Canadian Freedom Fighters. And today, And then today they had Andy Wakefield, Ted Koren, and Daryl Wolf. Tomorrow, Jeffrey Smith and Tom O'Brien is doing something again. I'm speaking at 7 o'clock on vaccination, more harms than good. But the primary focus of my talk is going to be on masks, on the solo show about masks. That's on Wednesday. On Thursday, it's Incubators of Change. Del Bigtree, Charlene Bollinger, Daryl Wolf. On Friday, Rashid Buttar, Jim Turner, Diane Miller. On Saturday, a whole bunch of people. Nutrition and the Lost Chemistry, Inspirational, the Sacred Antioxidant. I mean, just a whole bunch of things. And this is going globally. They're expecting 2 billion people to see this, Jim.
I love it.
He said that they partnered with a really big IT firm out of, I believe, located in Canada. And he said that yesterday, throughout the entire day, they had 250,000 viewers on their Zoom call. 250,000. And so, and they priced it. I think that the tickets are, like $3 or something. They're just a nominal amount because this is also being beamed into like Biafra and Ethiopia and Uganda and all these places. So they wanted to make it to be, people have to pay something because for 2 reasons. One, it's they should honor the people who do all the work, and it needs to help to offset some of the costs. And when you pay even a little bit of money, you know, you're obligated, right? You'll show up. You know, because you've got some skin in the game, right? But he said yesterday they had 250,000 viewers, and they're recording this, and it's going to be available. And so all this stuff about sacred geometry and sacred health and nutrition and lifestyle and vaccines and masks and social distancing and all the stuff that we're doing is just – that's right. Who said that? That's a really great statement. Who said that? Ribhop said they thought they could muzzle us, but they can't. Oh, that's awesome.
They're muzzling a lot of people, though.
I know. And the lion's share of my talk is going to be on, the one I just did for Health Freedom Expo, I could send it to you. It's I start out with this entire historical backdrop. I start from 1600. I mean, where do we start with the quarantines and then roll it up and get, to 65 with Medicare and Medicaid that wrapped us into the system? And when they start in Healthy People 2020, when they started 2010 with a decade of vaccines, from 2010 to 2020, Bill Gates funded the decade of vaccines. And so all of this stuff has been rolling out for over 50 years. And this is why the weforum.org people all say we've been working on this for 50 years. They have. And so now January of 2020, here we are at the precipice. It's a little bit disconcerting to me, Jim, because I feel a little bit like Noah. I feel like I've been saying, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Get on board, people. Wake up. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Okay. And now that it's raining, people are going, help me. Help me. What can we do? It's like, well, where were you 1 year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years? Where have you been? You know? And so now it's like we have to come along and be the – I don't know how you feel about that. But let me introduce you here quick to our guests. So for those of you who didn't join me a couple of weeks ago on a Monday morning Instagram Live, I invited a friend of mine who's gotten to be a good friend. I just love him. I just, you know, sometimes you just connect with people. Dr. Jim Meehan out of Oklahoma City of Tulsa area. He's leading the charge. He's a physician. He's a medical doctor, specializes in ophthalmology. And he has been leading the charge about the problems with masks. And that's kind of how we got connected, through a mutual friend, Dr. Ted Fogarty, that we both know really well. And, yeah. You know, and Fogarty said, and I sent him this, your article, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's just Jim. I go, you know him? Can you introduce us? And so here we are. So we did a really great Instagram Live a couple of weeks ago. And then he said, oh, you know, I like this happy hour thing. I'd like to get together with your group and pray. So like, yes, that's what we really need. So we really need to kind of do that.
Amen.
So in the last couple of weeks since we talked, what's been going on with you? What's been going on in your life?
Well, I've actually, I spoke at a couple of school boards here in Tulsa. Like most school districts in the United States, they're trying to mask all of our children, you know, debating whether they're going to go to virtual learning and all of these things that are just unnecessary. I updated my research article, 47 pages of all the research that you can possibly find on masks. And I created a mask that says, in an evidence-based analysis of why masks are ineffective, unnecessary, and harmful. I'll give you 17 reasons why masks are harmful. All the science to support those. I'm printing up 100-page booklet, and I took it to all the, I was asked to speak by, you know, medical freedom fighters at two of the major school systems here in Tulsa. And I spoke before the school board, and it was interesting, you know, experience. It was night and day. I went to the Jinx Public School Board, school board meeting. They gave me 5 minutes, but you know, I had the book. So I gave them the book with all the information. And they gave me 5 minutes to speak, and it was just a dead, you know, it's like, for me, everything's spiritual warfare, you know, it's like, and they were oppressed. There were not many people there. They let a couple of doctors speak before me. One of them comes in, you know, one of the doctors, one of our colleagues, he walks in his white lab coat. You know, this is like 6 o'clock at night. So he walked in his white lab coat, which is loaded with bacteria and viruses and everything he's seen in the clinic, you know, and I just wanted to say, you don't even begin to start talking about science when you come wearing the white lab coat that you wore in your clinic as a prop, as a costume to deal with your insecurities and your need to broadcast your status as a physician. And then you're going to come in here and talk against, you know, what I'm going to talk. You're going to talk in favor of masks, which tells me many things. You don't know the science because you're wearing a dirty white lab coat. You're insecure. You've got, you know, you just don't know. You have no right to be talking. Probably wearing the same mask that he was wearing in the clinic that day. And then another doctor, he was actually a PhD. And I think his PhD, I told him later, is in revisionist history, because what he told us was the history of masks. We've known for 100 years that masks work. We've been wearing them since the 1920s. And I just wanted to crawl out of my skin and you know, go make him read the book right there before he said another word. But, you know, and then so after that meeting, somebody drove by and busted out, vandalized my windows.
No way. In your clinic?
My clinic. And then I went to Owosso Public Schools. And it was night and day, Sherry. It was like there were hundreds of people in the audience. Very few of them were wearing masks. It was, the spirit was so alive there. Freedom was alive. These people were informed. And they were telling, you know, they elected those school board members. And they were telling them, you know, you're not going to mask us. And so I got 10 minutes and an opportunity to answer questions. And it was just, it was night and day. There was oppression in one, you know, one school board, and then there was life and liberty and patriotism and intelligence and freedom. And it was just, you know, that's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against these people that are just, you know, political animals. They're pathological narcissists. They're trying to step up the path to some position in political power, and they're not serving their people. You know, they're serving themselves. And that's too much of what we have in, you know, in politics today, is people that are serving themselves. And then there's, you know, there's people like us that are just trying to serve God, serve our fellow man, just love each other, and try to, you know, I'm just trying to love people out of this oppressive misinformation, you know, this deceitful manipulation of the population with pseudoscience, fraudulent, corrupt, low-level stuff. It just, you know, I was born for this, as I know you were.
High five, buddy.
Amen.
So tell me, back up just one step. These were two school systems, like, close in proximity?
Yeah, within, like, 20 minutes of each other. One is Jinx Public Schools, very big, you know, powerful school system, just outside of Tulsa, just on the outskirts. I mean, literally, you know, 10 minutes from my office. One other was a little bit farther out, a little bit, you know, it's a big growth area for a lot of people moving out of the Tulsa, you know,
metroplex.
Yeah. And it's just good people, you know. There's good people in both locations, but you know, the powers that be in Jinx were manipulating, you know, they kept the audience small. They packed the public comments with pro-maskers. They limited, you know, the time that I could speak, even though I was speaking for multiple, you know, families. They had already made a decision. They weren't listening. They didn't want to review the science. They already knew it. They knew everything, right? They knew everything. They didn't need to hear any opposing views. The other side was a little bit more open to it, but more importantly is, like, at least they let the people, instead of, like, there are 20 people at Jinx, there are 100 plus people at Owosso.
Wow.
And you know, it's just, that's the game that's being played. It's a few people manipulating the situation to contrive a narrative that, you know, that gives them power and makes them feel good. I don't know what it is, but it's not about God. It's not about serving, you know, our fellow man. It's not about love. I mean, there was no love. It was a lifeless place. I left. That was the first one I went to. And I really left with this feeling of, I was just exhausted and I just wanted to go home. I wanted to call it quits. But, you know, that's just, I've never been a quitter. And I said, now I'm going to go do the next one. I'm going to go drive and probably going to be just as bad. But God showed up. He was there. And it really was an opportunity for the truth to be, you know, to be vetted. And people are waking up. You know, people are really waking up.
You know, it's so interesting because, you know, for all you guys that are listening, this is Dr. Jim Meehan in Oklahoma. And I didn't know he was going to tell me this story tonight. I didn't know. And all of you guys, you know, you've heard me say before, you guys that have been doing happy hour with me for a long time now, you know, how I kind of pick a verse, you know, I kind of put a word into my concordance, and the word that I put into my concordance tonight was urgent. And then it pulls up all of the verses in the Bible that either use the word urgent or something close to that. And then I skim down the page and God sort of says, ooh, that one. So what did I come up with? What did God give me tonight? You guys aren't going to believe this, and I'm going to read this. It's just like, this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to read it in the International Standard Version. Because then when that verse comes out, then I put it into concordance, and I have five different versions across. And I really want to, first of all, read the verse in context. And second of all, I kind of like to read it in the different versions because it gives you a little bit different ways to say it. And this tonight, it just so happens that I really, really like how the international version says it. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Dear friends, stop believing every spirit. Instead, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize God's spirit. Every spirit who acknowledges that Jesus the Messiah has become human and remains so is from God. But every spirit who does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming, and now he is already in the world. I mean, it just gives me chills when I think about that verse and think about what it says at the beginning. Test the spirits and see if they are from God, because we're supposed to honor the people who are our governors, our legislators, our presidents. You know, a lot of pastors are stuck on this. You're supposed to honor the government, but you're supposed to honor those governors, government, if they are from God.
Exactly.
Our governors and what they're doing to us in Ohio and Wisconsin and California and all New York and all, they are, if anybody thinks they're from God, they better like go look again. But right. Think, I'm going to read this again because it just so gives me goosebumps. Just the first verse, dear beloved, this is the King James Version. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. So are we supposed to listen? You know, that's what I was been so upset with a lot of these pastors. And I've done a couple of happy hours that I've really been about it. You know, take your rules from God, not from Governor DeWitt, DeWine, which I call Dimwit, the Governor Dimwit here in Ohio, you know. You know, who are they to say we can't have church? Who are they that say we can't sing and dance and play wind instrument? You can play a drum, but you can't play a wind instrument. Who are these false prophets that have gone out into the world? You know, maybe this is one of the things we should be doing at these board meetings, is saying, who are you here to serve?
That's right.
You're obviously not serving these people. Do you serve God? Do any of you claim to be Christian? Any of you? Any
That's
of
right.
you? You will have to stand before your master, who's going to say, be gone from me, I know you not.
That's right.
You know, absolutely. Maybe, you know, because you and I are on the same page about this as fighting powers and principalities, right? You know, maybe we need to be taking different bullets, putting different bullets in our gun when we go to these meetings, and take really literally the word of God. Take to hear, you know, First John chapter 4, verse 1. Try these spirits. Are they from God? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and any of them up there, oh, I know you, Joe. Don't you go to my church? What are you doing to these people? And who are you genuflecting to? Which political animal are you calling God? You're obviously not even looking at science. So don't even tell me that you're being scientism and bowing to science, because you're not even doing that.
Right.
Which person is blackmailing you into doing this to your constituents, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and if you look closely at so many of these false prophets, these minions of evil that are sending out these dictates and these demands, you will see in their background and in their, even in their, you know, their gestures and gesticulations. I mean, Fauci has many times made, you know, little symbolic gestures, the hand in the coat, which has some dark overtones as a signal. He's made a hand symbolism at the podium. That was a symbol that is, you know, reflective of worship of the devil. And
wow.
I put a picture of that hand gesture, which is, I can't even do it. I wouldn't do it, but it's really hard to do. You have to practice it to be able to do it. He did it probably subconsciously at the podium. You have to, you know, and it's not just the rocker sign. It's a Baphomet kind of symbolism.
Wow.
And when you look at what these people are doing and how they're living their lives, the symbols that they use, the organizations that they support, you see the evidence of darkness. I'm a big believer in, you know, the problem that we have with this Luciferian deep state and what it's doing to our children and the struggle for power, to reclaim power. I've gone deep down that rabbit hole, and I know there's too much evidence that there's a deep, dark evil, that this battle between light and darkness is real, and it's really manifesting right now. And I think this, you know, this COVID-19 has become a perfect cover for a lot of bad stuff to be done. You know, they want to maintain power. They don't want to get caught. I mean, I don't know if you've seen kind of the darkness that Hunter Biden was involved in, but Hunter Biden is, you know, the evidence is really clear. That man was, you know, doing horrible things to young children. It's in the pictures. It's there. It hasn't been fully released by the mainstream media, but it's there. And You know, that's why I have my Save the Children shirt on. I just think, you know, if we do not rise up and protect our children from, you know, this evil darkness, the minions that are trying to put them in masks and harm them, because that's what it's all about. It's to me, it's like the evidence is too overwhelming that masks don't work, that there's no, you know, they're unnecessary. The children are, you know, and they're got 99.99815% of children that ever get COVID-19 survive. It's overwhelming that they survive. They do very well. There's no transmission in schools based on studies out of, you know, Saxony, Germany, Finland, Sweden, Austria, Australia. And yet here we are forcing every child in this country to wear a mask. And I've had children come in, parents bring their children into my office and tell me, you know, one 10-year-old boy is having nightmares at night, repetitive night terrors in which he's waking up in a sweat and panic and terror because he's dreaming about a teacher forcing him to wear a mask every day to or every night when he goes to sleep. And the anxiety, you know, the harm that these masks are bringing, it's just all a part of, you know, the enemy's game plan here. And it's a perfect scripture, Jerry. It's a perfect scripture. You know, if you are a follower of Christ and you are made uncomfortable, the Spirit is going to tell you that this is not right. So many people know that wearing a mask makes them uncomfortable, makes them anxious, makes them, you know, difficult to breathe. It puts them in a dark place. And when you're uncomfortable and sick, you turn inwardly. You're less likely to communicate, you know, to hear the voice of God when your brain's on fire because it's deprived of oxygen and you're rebreathing your own bacteria and fungi that are growing on the inside of that mask. I mean, it's just what we're being into is to be less, to be sicker, to be more dependent on, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, vaccines, remdesivir, politicians. They have all the, you know, it's no longer, they want us to be herded into their channels so that we become consumers.
You know, Jim, on Monday morning, I did an Instagram Live, and I was supposed to do it with Eric Naputi. You know Eric, right? You know Eric, and he woke up that morning. He had spoken 4 hours at a conference and at two different churches without a microphone the day before, and he woke up with laryngitis. He said, "I don't have a sore throat. I just don't have any vocal cords." And so instead, so we spent the time. And when I usually do that, if something happens on that, we end up doing like an open forum question and answer. And I spent the morning talking about this article that I found. When you talk about the darkness, and this is why I bring it up, the title of the article is Corona. When you said it gives us a cover for so many dark things, and right. I can send you this article because I think you'd like to read it. It's pretty long. And the title of the article is Coronavirus Gives a Dangerous Boost to DARPA's Darkest Agenda. Mm. And DARPA is, you know, the darkest arm of the DOJ. And, part of this article talks about DARPA's dystopia. And I want to read you this. It's one little paragraph from down here at the bottom. Let me find it. It's in big letters. I'll find it. It's a long article. It says that according to what they're aiming towards, this, and I've been saying this a lot, that what we're aiming towards is artificial intelligence, the transhumanism movement, injecting us with this stuff that's going to hook us up to the cloud and create, they're doing it. DARPA is looking at developing Manchurian candidates that they can actually inject this nanobot so that they can tell the brain what to do. So this is just one little section of this article. Come on, stop. It's sometimes technology, right?
Yeah,
it says, according to one recent report on DARPA's N3 program, one example of minimally invasive technologies they're developing is an injection of a virus carrying light-sensitive sensors or other chemical biotech or self-assembled nanobots that can reach individual neurons and control their activity independently without damaging sensitive tissue. The proposed use of these technologies isn't well specified, but as animal experiments have shown, controlling the activity of a single neuron at multiple points is sufficient to program artificial memories, fear, desire, and experiences directly into the brain. This is what this vaccine is planning to do to us. They've been working on this for a long time. This is a lot of the DARPA technology in this article talks about that they've been working on it since 2008, 2011. You know, the decade of vaccines was from 2010 to 2020. They are really hammering down on this. And this is, and now that they've got complete liability protection through the PREP Act, you know, for anything that they create. And inside of this article, there was one sentence, one additional sentence I want to read, then I want to get back to talking about the word here. But Profusa is a company that's a combination of a company that was developed between the NIH and DARPA. And it's also it's backed by Google. Mm-hmm. And it says, and Profusa, which is also backed by Google, is intimately involved in this new mass surveillance and contact tracing initiatives. Right. And one of the board members of Profusa is Bill Fritz, who passed the 2005 PREP Act and gave all of this stuff cover for no liability. Yeah. It's just like unbelievable to me.
All of the same, you know, all the same bad actors are doing all the bad works, and they're all linked. You know, Gates is always in there someplace, and all of his minions, Soros, et cetera, but they're not followers of Christ. They don't believe in something greater than themselves. So they believe themselves to be so great that the rest of us are just useless consumers to be preyed upon. I mean, you know, it's 20 years ago, Sherry, when I was sick. I was overweight. I was inflamed. I was depressed. And I was really a mess. I was sick like most people, you know, in America. We have one of the most unhealthy populations in the world. And in that time, I was so inwardly turned and my life was so miserable. I wanted to go back into I would never commit suicide, but I was so depressed that I wanted to reenter the military and go fight in Baghdad and just end it that way. I was so depressed, you know, and I got down on my knees. I actually opened up the Bible that my grandmother had given me when I went to West Point. And it was the chapter about baptism. And I said, you know, I called my grandmother and I said, "Grandmother, you know, you gave me this Bible when I went off to West Point, never opened it. I'm sorry about that, but I opened it now. God's telling me I need to be rebaptized." I'd grown up in the Catholic Church and it didn't serve my soul. I didn't learn. I didn't become the follower of Christ in the Catholic Church. Nothing against the Catholic Church. It got us through the dark ages. But it wasn't serving me, and so I got rebaptized in my grandmother's Pentecostal church.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a different.
That's a big leap.
It was a huge leap. I wasn't probably too big of a leap, but I started, you know, doing Bible study, and I at the same time I was getting healthier. God was showing me how to get healthier. I had a big hormone deficiency. I fixed that, and my life was. You know, I was starting to think clearly. I was coming out of the fog of depression and I started reconnecting with my Creator. I started, you know, just praying daily, reading the word daily. And it transformed me. You know, God healed me both mind, body, and spirit. And it was at that point that I realized this is what I've got to do in medicine. I have to help people get out of that disease state, you know, that we're all being led into. When I went to the doctors, they gave me, you know, they treated every one of my symptoms. Like, you know, I got an antidepressant, a statin medication, a weight loss medication. I got side effects from all of them. They didn't treat the root cause. They completely missed it. When I got the root cause treated and started getting better, now I have energy to exercise. I lost 100 pounds, believe it or not. I'd always been a high-level athlete, but I was, you know, I was 300 pounds of hot mess. And I lost about, you know, I lost about 100 pounds in that first year. And I, you know, won the World Jiu-Jitsu Championships. I mean,
wow.
got my health back. And then I pivoted my whole career on that, you know, and I started serving. I started training in functional medicine, integrative medicine, nutrition, really expanding, getting out of just the broken allopathic model and helping to lead people out of that funk, that disease state that just, it turns us inward, and we lose our connection with Christ. We lose our connection with our Creator, and we can no longer hear that still small voice. And that's what I think there's intent in a lot of what, you know, the puppet masters that are pulling all the strings in the society and in medicine today. You know, it's like we're creating disease because somebody knows, the enemy at the top of the, you know, the chairman of the board of these various organizations is the enemy. It's the devil. He is trying to lead us into a place of disease so that we are separated from our Creator. And then in that, we are, you know, we are more prone to attack. And so what I try to do now, get people out of that, you know, that disease state, so that they can find and reconnect with God's voice. They can hear, they can test those spirits. And it's because it's believers that are going to lead us out. It's a fight against the enemy. It's these false deceivers, these false prophets, these liars that are telling us to, you know, wear masks, isolate in our homes, don't go to church. You can go to the liquor store, but you cannot gather in your church. That alone is a test of the spirit. You know, that's a test. Anybody that's telling us to do that, they're clearly sick. What side they serve, and it's not the side of Jesus Christ or Savior that they're serving, because they want us isolated. They don't want us worshiping God. They want us locked in our homes, terrified, wearing a mask, slathering, you know, disrupting chemicals all over our hands, eliminating our microbiome, and all, you know, they're just creating disease. Sherry, they've been doing it with the vaccine program for 100 years. I mean, 50 United States today are suffering from one or more of 21 chronic diseases. I mean, I can't believe that that's not the enemy's hand playing in here.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, this is Satan's playground, right? I mean, yeah. And I really believe that this is kind of Satan's last hurrah. I mean, they've been working on this for, you know, he's been working on this for 2,000 years. The powers that be inside of, you know, when people say, who are they? Go to weforum.org. You'll find a whole list of they. They're all there. All of them. Weforum.org, that, you know, who started this whole thing, who, when you watch that video at the beginning, it's 4 minutes, and they said, everything in this world is wrong. And we have to eliminate everything and start over and recreate the world we really want. Well, who's
right.
We? Who's we? The Satanists, the people who run this world, who are the pedophiles, the human traffickers, the drug addicts. I mean, this is Satan's playground. I mean, Jesus called him on it. And he said, and you will have a limited time here. And I think his time's kind of up. And so, and, you know, it says in the word, you know, in those days, you know, only God knows when Jesus returns. He doesn't even know, but you will know by the signs. And you start looking around at the end days of things that are happening. Now, we could be wrong. It could be another 2,000 years for all we know. But when you look at what's happening right now and the dark coming to light and what's being exposed in terms of the nefarious things on this planet, it's only those who cling to God. Only those who really understand the gospel and believe in the saving grace of Jesus Christ that are going to survive this. And I still feel like I started out by saying that sometimes I feel like I'm Noah. I even feel like right now, a lot of us, because, you know, long is the path, but narrow is the way. Only a few, you know, that are really going to, when we get down, when you guys get down to right now, if somebody knocks at your door and says, take the chip, or come with me, you're going to the camp.
Right.
What are you going to do? And I think that these are the types of hard questions, hard soul-searching questions that you need to come to grips with before it actually happens. You know, it's sort of like I tell people, like, you know, the time to think about whether or not you're going to vaccinate your child is not when you're in labor.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. You know, what? Hepatitis B? Wait, what? You know, it's not when you're supposed to think about that. You, at least from the time you get pregnant, you got 9 months, right? That you should be questioning, researching, asking if you haven't done it before then, right? Well, before somebody comes knocking at your door and is going to haul you away, and literally you're not going to, if you, you can't buy, sell, or trade, you, you know, you may not be, you know, you might not be, you think you can't go places now, just wait.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I love the Noah reference too, because one time some guy came up to me and he said, you know, you really sound kind of like a conspiracy theorist. And I said, yeah, well, you know, Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it started raining.
Exactly. Great answer. That's exactly right. You know, and I feel like, you know, the back part of the boat, you know, it starts to close, you know, like this.
Yeah.
It's starting to close, people. And, you know, because sometimes I get discouraged, Jim. I'm just human like everybody else. And I just go, you know, if this has been predicted for 2,000 years, we can't stop it. We can't, you know, if this is really what's going to happen, you know, why don't we just go, you know, like Ecclesiastes, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? Just go and just, I mean, but because for, it's like every person that's ever come up to me and said, it's because of you, Dr. Tenpenny, I didn't vaccinate my babies.
That's
it's
right.
Like one more snatch.
And
what we're doing right now is like one more for God.
When
we can't maybe stop this nefarious, ugly stuff that's going on over here, but if we can pull more people to God, that's what we need to do, you know?
Well, Jerry, you have been the point of the spear for so long, and I honor you. God's action in you, because you were there. You know, I was still memorizing the stupid CDC vaccine schedule probably when you were, you know, when you were putting out the truth. And you have been, for many of us. I mean, God calls people like you up at a time, and it has to be a lonely time, because many, you know, when you were doing it and you were one of the early and most powerful voices out there, it was lonely. You were under attack, and you had nobody standing at your side. But sister, you have got that word up, and you have risen up. So many people have heard your words. And they have tested them in the spirit, and they have found that they are aligned with God's scripture. And you have inspired so many people to wake. And now you stand with an army at your shoulders, you know, side by side, lock shields, and we're right there with you. If you ever grow weary in doing the good that you do, you call me, and I will pump you up, girl, because we need you in this fight.
I have
seen so many warriors, you know, like wear out. You gotta rest, but you also gotta grind, because we are fighting. This fight is so important. Lives are at stake. I think I shared with you last time, one of my favorite movies is Hacksaw Ridge, the story of Desmond Doss and his, you know, the little small man that pulled 74 injured soldiers out of the firefight, you know, over 24 hours. And his prayer was, please, God, just help me get one more. And that's got to be all of our prayers. Spread the truth, you know, test the spirit, know the difference between the deceitful liars that are of Satan and, you know, the inspired followers of Christ that are just sharing God's truth, and share that truth, and just pray daily, please, God, help me save one more life, one more child, one more family that learns that the hepatitis B vaccine is one of the most ridiculous vaccines on the planet, that the science for all of vaccines is so weak and so far below the gold standard that we should expect, that, you know, the Gardasil vaccine is a murderous vaccine that's sterilizing, you know, populations of children. Golly, I mean, this is, if we can just plant those seeds, they're growing, and you've been planting them for a long time, and they're growing. And I'm a big, huge fan of yours.
Because
I see God working through you, Sherry Tenpenny. and it's so, you know, never grow weary in doing good, because you, sister, are doing a lot of good.
Oh, God bless you, Jim. Thank you for saying that. Well, I want to say this, that for the people, because we've had a lot more people that have come in over time here, what we're doing tonight on Happy Hour, Jim started by talking about the people that he had gone to, and two different school boards, one that was horrible and say, we're going to bask in the, and the other one that all the people were standing there going, listen, you school board people, you work for us.
Yeah,
you
know? That's right.
And then God laid on me tonight the verse to bring into this, because I had no idea he was going to sell me this, which is, if somebody wants to write it into the chat, is 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3, but particularly verse number 1. And verse number 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, but particularly verse number 1. Dear friends, stop believing every spirit. Instead, test the spirits and see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize God's spirit. Every spirit who acknowledges that Jesus the Messiah has become human and remains so is from God. But every spirit who does not acknowledge Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard he is coming, and now he is already in the world, which is why we've been talking about this. You know, Jim, that goes back to verse 1. Test the spirits to see whether they are God. Stop believing every spirit. Stop believing every doctor that talks to you, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, question them. You know, who, what do they know about anything? And what do you, where do you stand with God? I mean, don't you want a healer on your team that's a believer? Don't you want somebody that will sit with you? Like, I sit with patients in my office and pray with them. I ask their permission and they go, please. And, you know, and pray with them and pray healing for them and strength and forgiveness. And so many people, Jim, what they really need is somebody to pray for them to forgive themselves.
Prayer is our most powerful weapon. And it's healing. It's proven to be healing. If you're going to a doctor and another doctor that prays with you, and doctor, if there's any doctors watching, if you're not praying with your patients, you're missing the powerful healing thing that you have at your disposal. Because just that, I mean, just love that is expressed when people pray together is such a powerful healing thing. It shifts the mind into a healing state. And God, that's where God flourishes. That's where God works. And golly, we should, you know, it was the hardest thing when I you know, became a follower of Christ, a fully devoted follower of Christ. And I, that first patient that I prayed with, it was felt awkward, but it was so amazing. And now I do it with every patient, almost every time, without exception. It's just got to be a part of what medicine is all about. I mean, it may not be for all people, but for me, it's the best part of my medicine, especially when I'm treating people suffering with addiction, because I know those people are high value targets. The enemy wanted to take them out by using his most powerful weapon, drugs of addiction. And I pray for them. I even make them memorize scripture.
Ooh, that's great. That's awesome. But you know, that's really super true, because I feel like a lot of times I move to pray with people about forgiving themselves. It's like, you know, Jesus forgave you. God gave his son to die for you. Doesn't matter what it is. If they can forgive you, you know, with one tiny little faith piece the size of a mustard seed, if you can plant that little forgiveness spot in your own heart, it will manifest and grow and change everything about your life, everything. You know, just that little tiny bit. Well, Jim, every time I talk to you, I mean, I just want to talk to you more. I just want to, like, I just want to come over and hang with you, you know? Well, listen, what I want to do tonight, because we're getting close to the top of the hour, and Instagram cuts us off at exactly an hour, and this has been a great discussion tonight, and I hope you guys can really take that in about 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Stop believing every spirit. Test whether they are from God. Stop believing your governor. I mean, don't believe your pastor. Don't believe your doctor. Don't believe your priest. Don't believe any of them unless you really have tested their spirit. Are they really from God? Are they just like, I mean, I have a really good friend here. In fact, you guys know him. It's Dr. Anthony Silvestro. He did a happy hour with me a couple of weeks ago, which was just amazing. And he's a retired dentist, retired at 42, mind you. But he's a dentist, and he's become a lay pastor, and he's just amazing. you know, and he, and I asked him, I said, this whole thing with like the whole bio logos and them trying to get people to sign on as Christians to agree to wear a mask and vaccinate and social distance and to squelch all this knowledge that doesn't believe the scientists. It's this whole belief in scientism is what it is. I said, how do they get Christians to co-opt to that? And particularly, how do they get pastors to go on with that? And Anthony said to me, he goes, well, it's been my experience, Sherry, that a lot of people who are pastors really aren't Christians. They really don't believe in the gospel. It's just a job to them. And, oh, that breaks my heart.
Does it breaks my heart too.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, who are they leading and deceiving, and who are the people that are following their for milquetoast, you know? I mean, and what's going to happen when they stand before their maker? Oh man, I wouldn't want to be in that, you know, life review chair.
Yeah.
You know? Well, Jim, can you please pray for us tonight and all that we're doing here? We'll end our night tonight in just the most upbeat thing of saying that. Oh, and I want to ask you one thing before we go. Is there a Doctors for God group out there somewhere? Is there some sort of a really like a national Doctors for God or something group?
Yeah,
like
there's a Christian physicians organization out there. I can't remember the exact name of it, but there are, but you know, Sherry, I hate to say it, that there's too many atheists in medicine. There's just too many atheists, agnostics, and quite frankly, worse in medicine. So I learned that very quickly in medical school, that there just weren't enough of us. You know, I'd have these endless debates in anatomy class my first year. It's like, how can you not see the hand of God in that amazing creation, you know, the anatomical structure? How can you imagine that's just the, you know, the random collision of molecules and evolution of bacteria? That's ridiculous. You know, it's like, but that's, there's so many atheists in medicine, and there's not enough of, you know, fully devoted followers of Christ.
Wow. You know, in our anatomy lab, I remember around there was the scripture around the top of the anatomy lab. It was, I will fear thee, for I am wonderfully made, you know, that around the top. And I just thought that was really kind of cool. And actually, on our very first day of medical school, very first day, and it only happened that first day, the very first day the first day of our first anatomy class, and the first day that we were going into the anatomy lab for the first time, our anatomy professor prayed for the whole class.
And
I mean, and I wasn't even like a big on fire for God person then, like I am now, but I remember it because, you know, I grew up in a very fundamentalist church. That's why I said it was like a big leap to go from being a Catholic to that. But I just, it so made an impact on me that he got up in front of all the entire class. There's 190 kids in our class, and talked about the sanctity of the body, and that we as physicians to be healers, and as we go into these anatomy labs and we're going to be dissecting dead people, mm-hmm. You know, the respect for that we need to have. And it was, that would have been, gosh, 1980, and I still remember it. Because mm-hmm. It was just, you could have heard a pin drop on the carpet in there. And then he just had everybody, before we got up from there and walked down the hall and went into the anatomy lab, he just prayed that we would be respectful and that we would understand where we came from and that we would learn more about the body. It would help us to be able to help others. I mean, you can tell it was pretty impactful on me because, like I said, that would have been July of 1980. Yeah. And all these years later, I still remember that.
Yeah, as you should. And it's, I have noticed that in my career, osteopaths have a much, you know, seem to be a higher prevalence of Christians and osteopathy. And I love that about it. You know, whereas I think allopathic medicine has become, they worship, there's so much worship of a
scientism.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, well, we got 5 minutes. Yeah. So this is your time and our time with God. So I want everybody to get quiet for just a second. Stop texting. We love your hearts, but just get quiet for a minute. Reconnect with what we need to do in terms of testing spirits and knowing who we are and what we are. And we'll let Jim lead us in prayer.
Yeah. Dear Almighty God, Father, to us all, we just ask that you would just end the strife and division in this country, to help us to be to hear your still small voice, the quiet voice that you said would always be with us, to listen to that Holy Spirit that would guide us, to help us to test the spirits and the proclamations that are coming from our leaders, God, so that we would better know the path to protect our children, to protect ourselves, to find our path in this as we engage in this spiritual warfare against an enemy that is trying to divide, to destroy, to deceive us, God, that you would help to raise up more warriors like Sherry Tenpenny, more people that would just boldly proclaim the truth of your gospel, the amazing news and the gift that you gave us in Jesus Christ, that they would just proclaim that their allegiance to Jesus and his gift to us. They would share that with as many people as possible. And in that sharing, that they would lead others to know that relationship, because it's the only thing that will free us from this world that is occupied and full of the enemy's handiwork. God, please bring an end to all of that. Expose the pedophile networks, the vaccine injury epidemic. Expose all the bad actors. Bring the pharmaceutical company and any of the bad actors, wherever they are, expose them, God, so that the world can see that the truth is in your hand, in your control, and the enemy has been lying and deceiving to us. And we pray that you protect all of your warriors, especially Sherry Tenpenny, all of the warriors out there that are speaking the truth. Guard them. Send your angels to surround them and protect them as the enemy tries to assault them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew, and all God's people said amen.
Yes, they did. But that's what we got to do. We got to pray. We pray for our enemies. I find myself, you know, reluctantly, I'm still struggling with praying for my enemies. I always have, but I know I have to, and I'm called to. I prayed for Anthony Fauci that God would lead him out of that darkness. For Bill Gates, that he would lead him out of that darkness. Whatever spirits are oppressing and controlling him, that they would, you know, just pray for those people, because that there's power in that.
Wow. Well, you know, God can change a heart in a nanosecond.
That's right.
I mean, think about, you know, Paul on the way to Damascus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, things, all kinds of things can just happen, you know, in a second. Because, as you know, when we usually say our prayers on Happy Hour, we always say, you know, as above, so below, you know, thy will be done in your perfect timing in Jesus' name, right? Because our timing isn't his timing. I mean, our timing, we'd have wrapped this thing up a long time ago. Well, Jim, thank you so much. I know that you had some things you needed to do tonight, and I appreciate you sticking with us here and coming in. And you know, anytime you just that you're on Happy Hour, just, you know, right now I'm doing.
I'm pretty regular now.
You're a regular now.
In our lives, you've been inspiring, Sherry. Thank you for inviting me, and I will be a regular because we all need for Jesus in our lives.
Yeah, we're doing Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. After we get through the boot camp and a couple of other things, we'll go back to 5 days a week. But right now we're doing Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And,
God bless you.
You know, it's just great. So God bless you too, Jim. Thank you guys all for being here tonight. We will see you Thursday night. If you guys are around tomorrow night, I think Michelle will post this link to this Turning Point 2020, because I'm giving a talk mostly about masks. It's some about, you know, my title of my talk is Vaccines, Are They Doing More Harm Than Good? I have to do a little bit of that at the beginning, but the rest of it is going to be about the mask. So tell me one more time real quick of where we can get that information from you, your updated.
Yeah, my website is mehanmd.com, mehanmd.com, and it's in my blog section. It's the latest post.
Awesome. All right. Love you, Jim. Take
care.
All right. Take care, guys. See you guys tomorrow. Take care. Good night.